Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to the 61st edition of, is that right?
Yeah, no, you got it. I'm surprised you got it.
Of the Pewter Nation podcast. I'm Mark Cook, along with Mr. Scott Reynolds, a.k.a. Slick Reynolds, we call him, and Mr. Trevor Sikkema over there, wearing that filthy, dirty, blue, and dingy, with stained up, cat vomit on it, Florida Gator hat.
How a good morning to you as well, Mark Cook.
Yeah, well, that's the greeting and salutation you're going to get, as best as you're going to get for a Tuesday morning. We're doing this rather early, but anyway,
dude, it's like 10 p.m.
It's 11. Wake up! It's 11 o'clock.
I've been up all night. I haven't slept yet.
Yeah, you're a cat dad now.
Shut up. Yeah,
he is.
It's not cool.
He's got a little baby cat.
2 hours. It's awful. Whoever decided.
Does it cry like a baby?
Oh yeah.
Does it?
Oh, wake you up.
Oh man.
Yeah.
I would love that.
No, you wouldn't.
You damn cat people! I swear to God, you need a good hunting dog. That's what you need. Is a hunting
you
dog.
Showed up out of the closet.
Damn cat! I swear to God.
You didn't have his gag tight enough, Trevor. Uncle Stan stopped by.
It's not my job anymore.
Come on, Uncle Stan.
It's my sophomore year.
Yeah.
We gotta get the rookie to handle him.
All right. Well, we were just with you guys late last week, but some news broke over the weekend. Thank goodness that all the other sources were able to break it before us, and we were able to.
Man, you're hung up on that, aren't you?
It pisses me off.
Well, who cares?
I mean, I care.
We're in a Twitter
world.
We
were up
right
in
now.
One. We were all. We were up at 1 a.m.
Saturday night.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And then everybody wakes up Saturday or Sunday morning and jumps all over the story and you know.
It's okay.
You didn't even give us a heads up on this. By the way, we're talking about Jay Hayes, the defensive line coach, being fired, because
yes.
We haven't mentioned that yet.
Yeah.
But you didn't even give us a heads up for that.
No, I didn't. It was some late-breaking, fast-breaking news that I got wind of and put the story up. And I was
out at a bar when you were like, hey, guess what happened? And then you sent us the story link.
I knew you were out
okay,
and about.
Great.
It was a Saturday night. I knew you were home, like, sleeping.
Picking up cats.
No, I was watching.
You're watching the
replays
baby cat.
Of live PD or the Olympics or something. I'm not sleeping. I don't ever sleep, even when I don't have a baby cat.
Yeah, but I wanted to go to sleep. I might have been dozing off when the phone aroused me from my slumber.
You're kind of like the old man. You're kind of like the old dad. Like I wanted to text last night, like at 12:15. I was like, no, it'll probably wake him up. And
yeah,
he'll be
I went
crabby.
To bed like at 10 last night.
Yeah,
like,
you never
real.
Know. I never
Couldn't
know.
Be
with
me.
Trevor.
I got up
me.
At 5 a.m.
Trevor okay. will text at 2 a.m. though.
Yeah. But listen, yeah.
Cover 3 will Pewter be done report. By 3:15 a.m. tonight. By the way,
somebody could take a look at it.
Yeah.
Sure. Let me get out of bed.
PewterReport.com, though, we will break news 24 hours a day. So if you have nothing better to do,
true.
If you have insomnia, get on PewterReport.com and check us out. You
never
know. You might see a breaking story with an assistant coach being fired. So why did Jay Hayes get fired 40 days after the season? Right, that's the big question.
The Bucs' D-line was bad.
Yeah, but did it take 40 days going through films and player interviews to find out that?
I was on 620 yesterday, and that was the main question they asked us. It's like, okay, well, we're not surprised that they made the move.
Yeah.
We're surprised that it's February and they made the move.
Like, I'll tell you what's surprising is they picked up this guy's option year.
Supposedly.
Right?
Supposedly. I mean, that's something Rick Stroud reported. We have not been able to confirm that all of the assistants got
nor deny.
Yeah. They got their contracts picked up.
I just like that phrase.
But, yeah, I mean, typically, I mean, coaches don't like to work for free, right? And trust me, it's not like football season's over; they're not working. They're they're going through all of the film and the cut-ups, and they're having their recap of what happened and what needs to be improved upon from 2017 going into 2018. So, yeah, it seemed a little fishy, but at the same time, though, we know for a fact, without naming names, that Jay Hayes was not terribly popular with some of the defensive linemen on this team. You could read that on certain players' faces when doing interviews. They didn't come out
and
say
like
it.
This one guy that talks like every week in
possibly,
the locker room?
Possibly. I'm not going to say
that says stuff like, we just do what we're told to do?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I would say that's probably an accurate assumption there.
Merrill Jacoy?
possibly Merrill. Yes.
Yeah.
But I think there's others, and listen, the Buccaneers
Auburn Rares
didn't have they didn't have all of the tools they needed because Jason Light did screw up, and I think he's been accountable in this in this essence. And maybe that's the reason why they didn't just fire Jay Hayes right out of the
gate. Here's my theory, as you just said. Look, they probably did take a little bit of time off, all right, just to recoup from the season. They reconvened. They started looking at film. I think maybe Jason Light took a look at this defensive line and said, this is just – I mean, went back and looked at everything that happened this year, reviewed all these games, reviewed that particular position.
I think Dirk Cutter, too. I don't think this
absolutely.
Is Jason's
goal. Yeah, no, they looked at it and said, you know, how do we justify going into next season – number one, we've got a fan base that's upset that there were no changes. Not that this satisfied every fan by any stretch. A lot of people were saying it should have been Mike Smith, not Jay Hayes.
Yeah.
That Jay was a scapegoat.
Hey, there was a very popular SR's Fat Five that I did where I basically said, this is crazy that there hasn't been changes. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was a pretty well-received Fat Five based on that sentiment. So, yeah, I agree with you there.
But, you know, I just have a feeling they just took a look at things and just said, we just – I mean, we can't. Somebody has to fall on the sword here, whether it's fair or not fair. Because, again, I've always maintained, in defense of Jay Hayes, you can't make chicken salad out of chicken you-know-what.
Yes.
And he had a lot of chicken you-know-what this year.
Right. But good coaches at the same time can use scheme to overcome lack of talent in certain areas.
And I think that's where the disconnect between the players.
Yes.
And when we talked to Warren Sapp, who noticed certain things on tape – you know, it just, you know, you wrote about Jay Hayes making the line calls from the sideline. That just didn't happen in the Sapp days.
No, it didn't. And Warren, and you can go back and read this SR's Fab 5. I think it was October after the Giants game where I interviewed him. And
it's called foreshadowing, folks, in case
exactly
you need
what it was.
No, Scott wrote this in October.
Yeah. We pretty much figured this was going to happen, just, again, surprised by the timing. But Sapp made some really good points to me, whereas you don't come out of the gate on the first or second series and start running games and twists and stunts. That's your counter. Like, you want to do some straight-up rushes and get your offensive linemen into grooves, into tracks, and then you want to do your switch-ups.
And it gives you an opportunity to get a feel for what the offensive line, what their scheme is as far as the blocking goes.
Exactly.
Where maybe there is a weakness or not a weakness that you didn't see on film.
And I get the impression that Jay Hayes was kind of my way or the highway kind of guy, didn't listen to player input much, and that was the exact opposite that Sapp shared with me of Rod Marinelli, right? Because Rod, as great as he was, I mean, this guy's, I believe, the defensive line guru in the NFL. I think that he is the top-notch guy, and his track record in Tampa spoke for itself. But he would ask the players. Monty Kiffin would ask the players. Sapp, Culpepper, Rice, you know. What are you seeing?
Once you get to that level, you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
So at that point, it's like the players know what they're good at.
They're the boots on the ground.
Right. This isn't college. It's not like these guys don't know technique or they need Sure, I guess your first couple of years in the NFL, like, you need coaching. But by that time, Simeon Rice got there and Warren Sapp got there and like Anthony McFarland, those guys, like
can you imagine?
They're good. I get it. But you have to let them do what they think they can do best, because they know it at that point.
We've all went to MacDill, right, to see John Gruden and all that. That's Central Command, right? That's CENTCOM for the U.S. military, for the armed forces, right? And that's here in Tampa, just down the street.
By the way, I totally snuck in, and no one – I drove all the way to the golf course and didn't even stop, and no one stopped me.
No, you were under surveillance. There was a drone following you, an armed drone, by the way.
Oh, so it probably was. Yeah. Okay, all right, never mind.
But – that's one of those things where the people in Tampa, the brass, right, the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine brass, they're not calling all the shots for all of the overseas in the Middle East, these different theaters where we have troops stationed and ships on the move and all that stuff, right, without getting some input from the boots on the ground.
They're scheming, they're game planning, just like the coaches do.
They're relying on input
for that
from
game that week, for that game that week.
Yes.
And then when it gets to time to play the game, if you want to call it that, then the people who are there are the ones that are making the calls and probably the major decisions.
You have to make some adjustments on the fly, right? Because you're anticipating one thing, and when you get something else, you have to make some adjustments, you know, to that. And who knows that better than the players? So now you know, you're looking at a replacement late in the game, but it's going to be interesting to see, Trevor, because right now, is this a very attractive job? I mean, the league and league circles, these coaches know that Dirk Cutter and his staff and possibly Jason Light too are on the hot seat entering 2018.
Right.
Is this a job?
That was a question in the mailbag yesterday.
Yeah. Is this a job where you want to come?
Would Jack Del Rio want to come here?
No.
First of all, Jack Del Rio is collecting major dollars from Mark Davis to do nothing.
Well,
right
actually,
now.
Jack Del Rio might come here because it's like a – hey, we're going to hire you, and if the entire rest of the coaching staff doesn't work out, you could be the head coach.
Well, I thought about that too, but I also look at it like this.
But see, Dirk wouldn't hire him for that reason.
And here's
he wouldn't want to hire his eventual replacement.
Right, like Lovey did. But Dirk saw firsthand how that works out. But, you know, but I mean, think about it from an ego standpoint too. I don't know Jack Del Rio, but you go from being a head coach, a guy who 2 years ago was lauded as one of the best and got a new deal from the Raiders and, you know, in the running for Coach of the Year, and a
and
year
son
later
comes
he's,
to Florida,
he's
stinks
fired.
Up the place at quarterback.
Well, that was probably the reason that you know Jack sucked last year, is he was stressed out about how poor his son played.
I was stressed
at the University of Florida, right, Mark?
Yeah, for the Gators. Yeah.
Not QBU.
He couldn't beat out.
that's not QBU.
Couldn't beat out Austin Appleby.
That's true.
All right. So. But anyway, that was a question, and I said I don't think number one. I mean, as you said, Scott. Coaches know, I mean, this is a volatile situation. These coaches are on the hot seat. If they don't win this year, they're done. It blows up. I mean, the guy's not going to move his family here for 1 year.
Right.
Unless he feels pretty comfortable.
I think it narrows certainly the available candidates for the search. You know, Paul Spicer, we broke the story on Sunday, the assistant defensive line coach. He's been here for the past 3 years, one under Joe Cullen, the last two under Jay Hayes. Mm-hmm. He's going to get a shot to interview.
Right now it's Spicer and you. Are the two candidates?
No, I'm officially retired from Pop Warner.
But you guys
coaching.
Had a hell of a year your last year.
True,
and I'm the Pasco Predators.
I'm a defensive line.
And you were the defensive line coach.
I'm not going to be.
And you are
I'm
Joe
not
Cullen.
Be telling
Joe Cullen is your mentor.
I'm not,
Joe Cullen came out to your practice.
He did. He helped us out with.
He bought equipment
with a volunteer pass rushing clinic for my 11 and 12 year olds. Yes.
I just want Joe Cullen back for one reason, and one reason only.
To hear him at the retreat camp.
Boy, with that gravelly voice.
Yeah.
Gerald hit the bag. God damn, God, I'm a pigeon mother.
Anyway, but.
So Paul Spicer is one guy, and there are some pluses and minuses there. Number one, he probably would take the job.
That's the only plus.
Well, no,
I don't.
He knows the personnel.
I understand,
right?
But
we
again, I mean, that would be like.
But he's also.
If you are the CEO
of, the problem,
of an underperforming company. You know, do you promote the vice president to the CEO? I mean, okay, he knows the product, but he's also part of the problem.
Yeah,
there's a problem.
If the vice president has what you think are some really good solutions to the problem, then yeah. And I think that he's going to get his fair shot. The Times.
Are you telling me Jay Hayes wouldn't have listened to Paul Spicer's advice? Is that what you're trying to tell me, Scott?
I'm not going to say that.
Okay.
I have no idea.
I will.
So, all right. The Times threw out the name Ted Monachino, and there's some plausibility there. He was the Colts defensive coordinator the last 2 years. He has coached
with Dirk before. Yeah.
Arizona State, Boise State, Jacksonville. Was part of that Jack Del Rio staff.
Wouldn't
so
you
there's
say
some
that,
familiarity
that,
there. Along with
that's
Mike
probably
Smith. He's probably the leader in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
I would agree. Yeah, I would think so.
It's one thing to go from a defensive coordinator to a defensive line coach. It's another thing from being a head coach of a high-profile franchise to being a defensive line coach somewhere.
Yeah.
Now, somebody mentioned, well, maybe they make him the assistant head coach. But then that brings up the point you said, that I don't think Dirk's going to, you know, I mean, you don't.
Not with Monk in there.
You know.
No way.
Yeah.
He's not making anybody
right.
assistant or co-head coach, whatever you want to call it, while Monken's still here.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Monken would fight him.
You would fight him.
Oh, I will.
Make good content.
I wouldn't fight Jack Del Rio, though.
No, I wouldn't either.
He's still a big boy.
Yeah.
Monken, bring it. Not scared.
I don't know, man.
Not scared, Todd.
Wait, how did this get to Mark fighting Monken?
He just brought it up, and
yeah.
doesn't take much to get me fired up.
Well,
I'm ready to fight.
The thing is, too, apparently Todd's nickname is Spider Monken, so he will come at you like a Spider Monken.
Right. Well, he can bring all the Spider Monken he wants, but you guess what my nickname is?
Cat Daddy.
The chef.
The psychopathic ginger German. So, anyway,
okay.
That's not true. I just
emphasis
made that up.
Emphasis on psychopathic.
That's
psychopathic is true.
Yeah.
Cat Daddy, yeah.
Go follow Mark on Instagram and see some sweet newborn cat pics.
Hashtag cats of Instagram.
Wow.
Look, man, as I wrote yesterday, everything that's alive deserves a chance to survive.
And even the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they're still alive.
And for what?
For the 2018 season. I like
for
what,
now.
I like what they've done so far, though. I
like my cat's chances better of surviving than the Bucs making the playoffs in 2018.
Here's the beauty of it. The beauty of it, and
I'm gonna make that. Can we make that the poll question? Which has a better chance to survive 2018?
You're gonna hurt my cat.
I'm gonna go with the Buccaneers, Mark. I'm just saying, because you're probably gonna give the cat the flu or something.
I don't know if you've Lysoled your house. The flu.
But I like what Dirk has done so far. I like the promotion of Monken to offensive coordinator. I also like the fact that Jay Hayes is fired, and they're going to go in a different direction. This is a very, very important hire, though, because whoever this person is, they got to come in and really make an impact. You golf clapping that?
That's the sarcastic clap of Buccaneer fans.
Yeah. That's fine. Listen,
with this great direction.
They're doing what you're supposed to do.
They're still a 5-11 football team right now. I'm not saying that they're going to the playoffs or anything. I'm saying that the first two moves out of the gate I like, and then moves 3 and 4 I'm also going to like, which is cutting Doug Martin and cutting Chris Baker in a couple of days.
By the way, nothing to do with football. Look up sarcastic clapping family, old Saturday Night Live skit with Phil Hartman.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
That was a classic.
Phil Hartman was a classic. Yeah. I love that guy.
Damn his wife for shooting him. Damn her!
Yeah.
All right, anyway. All right, so we've talked about the Jay Hayes situation. Now, we also talked about potential candidates. That's not true. A lot of fans, and we would love to see it too. Love to see Warren Sapp here. But Kevin O'Donnell, give him credit. Warren's like, I'm not doing it. We put it up. We retweeted it yesterday. He said, why would I do that? I don't want to do those hours because assistants put in crazy amount of hours. Mm-hmm. And, we all think it would be fun and exciting. I don't know I don't know how qualified Warren Sapp would be to be a defensive line coach. I don't mean that as far as knowing. There's a big difference between being able to do a duty, but transferring that knowledge over to somebody else.
If you remember, and I think you were maybe still in the womb, or you probably weren't even a thought in your parents' head at this time, but remember back when Mike Shula was getting a lot of grief in 97, 96, 97?
Mm-hmm. Is that the guy with the steakhouse?
No, this is Mike Shula. That was Don Shula.
Oh, okay.
Mike is his son. He is the Panthers' offensive coordinator.
His son didn't take over the steakhouse family name?
Well, he still has the family name, but the steakhouse, I don't think.
Yeah, Don's not dead yet, so he hasn't taken over anything.
Oh, okay.
Maybe when Don kicks the bucket, Mike will take over and it'll be Mike Shula's steakhouse.
But Mike was a really young assistant coach. He was offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach. Remember that? And people were pissed off because Dirk –
former 12th round draft pick by the Buccaneers.
Yeah.
You know that?
But Trent Dilfer wasn't developing as rapidly as people thought and was living up to that draft billing.
That's Turk Schoenert's fault. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, but – a lot of people were saying, and this is right around when Dan Marino retired, why don't you just hire Marino as the quarterback's coach?
Right.
Why? So he can tell Trent and Casey Weldon, here, throw it like this, right? Like, and literally flick his wrist. He's got one of the quickest releases of all time. There's no way in the world that any of the Buccaneer quarterbacks at that time could have replicated that.
No.
And so that's what happens sometimes when you have great players. Like Warren Sapp did one of the quickest get-offs. So if he's trying to sit there and tell Will Golston how to improve his get-off, Will's never going to get to that point.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So,
some things are just genetics. Yeah, some things are
sometimes
DNA.
Sometimes it's better to have like Eric Zier, former backup quarterback, right? Like a gym rat. One of those guys
who actually had to work to get there.
Yeah, like in John Gruden, who was a third-string quarterback in Dayton.
Right.
He was the grinder. He was the guy that was in the film that didn't live off the physical talent, that knows all of the techniques, the tips, the tricks of the trade. And those are the guys typically that make the best coaches, not the Hall of Fame type guys that just and listen, Sapp was a student of the game. Boy, that dude is one of the smartest football players I've ever met in my life.
But would he have the personality, too, to deal with knuckleheads? But first of all, he doesn't have the personality to deal with the media. He wouldn't have to do it a whole lot as a defensive line coach. But again, we know this guy has a hair trigger. He can go from 0 to 60 in 0.2 seconds. I mean, and from one end of the scale to the other.
Yeah.
Listen, if
you're Mike Smith, the defensive coordinator, it might be an intimidating situation.
I would be nervous. Yeah, I would be walking on eggshells.
Yeah, Sapp's not coming. We know that for sure. So we can put a period.
Scott Reynolds' name is still in the hat.
Can't confirm. Can't.
Well, here's one thing. Here's one thing we can confirm, Trevor. You confirmed this by talking with Derek Gilmore, Mike Evans' agent.
Yes.
That they're in no rush to do a contract extension, are they?
They're in no rush, and they shouldn't be. Yeah. It's not a position that, you know, a lot of people are kind of freaking out over this, and you know, it's
not an indication that Mike doesn't want to be here.
It's really when you get down to it, yes, this is kind of like news that, oh, you know, things haven't progressed quite yet. Mm-hmm. But I mean, the whole premise behind both sides of what they're doing is
posturing.
I mean, it's fine. Like Mike Evans' side, Evans is never hurt.
Right.
And so he's coming off four-time
1,000-yard
seasons. Yeah. And if he plays another 16 games this season, he will be Tampa Bay's like all-time accomplished receiver.
Yeah.
At age 25.
On his rookie deal.
Just ending his rookie deal.
Yeah.
That is an unprecedented amount of leverage for a franchise, especially one that's been as inept offensively as the Buccaneers. And for the Buccaneers, I think they're looking at it like, okay, well, we know we're going to have to pay Evans at some point, but they have a couple of other guys that they're trying to work out long-term deals with while they have the money now. They're trying to work out to see what they can get out of them, how they can shape that kind of money, what it's going to be looking like either this summer, next year, whatever it is, because they know Evans' deal is coming up. They know Winston's deal is coming up. But at the same time, too, I think that they have a little bit of wiggle room because the wide receiver free agent class is not that strong this year. So, yes, contracts are going to get more and more every time a big contract is signed. The number is going to go up, but that's fine. The salary cap goes up.
Yeah,
so it goes up along with it. What they don't want to do is obviously they don't want to let Evans hit free agency completely
next year. With OBJ, right?
Because Beckham is there. You know, Larry Fitzgerald, if he signs, even if it's a one-year deal, Larry's going to get a lot of money in a 1 year.
Right.
Yeah, Odell Beckham Jr. is one of them. And there's a couple of other guys next
Sammy
year.
Sammy Watkins. Oh,
you do not want Evans to be looking at, though. You want to get Evans inked before. I mean, OBJ is the target.
Yeah.
You don't want to see that number.
Right.
You do not want to see that.
Well,
number.
You don't want to see.
So
you don't want to see Mike Evans and Odell Beckham Jr. on the free agent market together,
bidding, right, sure.
Driving those but, up.
And,
you know what? You know what I like best about your story? The very last quote you got from Gilmore, where he said he brought up the Jimmy Garoppolo
right,
situation.
Sure.
He goes, Jimmy Garoppolo is not a top 10 quarterback, but he's the top paid quarterback.
He's the top paid player.
It's timing. It happens.
Right.
Mike Evans is not better than Julio Jones. Mike Evans will end up with more money than Julio Jones.
Yeah. And probably Antonio
they
Brown,
have all,
too.
They have all of the leverage in the world.
Jameis Winston's going to end up with more money than Drew Brees,
well,
Cam
yeah,
Newton,
no
and Matt Ryan, and he's the fourth best quarterback in this division right now.
I said after Jimmy signed his contract, I was like, Jason's going to have to go to Bank of America or even Donald Trump and ask him to raise the national debt to sign Jameis Winston, because that's just what's going to happen. That's what happens with every quarterback. Jimmy Garoppolo broke the record.
Actually,
Kirk Cousins is about to break the record.
That doesn't
Drew
happen
Brees
in Tampa.
Break the record.
The Buccaneers have never signed
that's true.
A
ever.
Drafted quarterback to a second in contract ever
but, okay,
in
but,
history.
Again,
but it probably will
that's
happen
That's leverage
yeah.
against the Buccaneers. That's
yeah.
even more.
Right.
The Buccaneers have all of the leverage, I think, against them for both of these deals, because unless something terrible happens and Mike gets hurt, knocking on wood.
This is for Micah.
Yeah. So,
but it's for Michael.
Stretch.
Okay. Unless something like that happens, the Buccaneers are completely at his mercy because they cannot let him go.
It's
not even a matter
of. It's the same situation with Gerald McCoy. It's the same situation
anything.
With McCoy a few years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, they had to give him that, you know, $98 million deal.
But he did them a favor. He did that right around the end of October. Mm-hmm. He didn't go to free agency with Ndamukong Suh.
Well, that's true.
And Sue made a ton more money than
and that's
than
what, like,
did.
I you and I have talked about this, Scott. Mm-hmm. Mike Evans is not going to hit free agency.
Right.
They're not going to let that happen.
Yeah.
So you can just kind of like write that off. But
I would sign Le'Veon Bell and let Mike Evans walk.
Can you not ruin the cover three?
I was previewing it for you.
All right, there you go, folks.
You're the editor of this thing.
You
can cut it out
if
you want.
No. It's, look, this is live radio, okay?
Kind
of. Uncle Stan comes in and, you know, runs amok, ends up, you know, killing somebody. It's live. I got to publish the podcast. It's got to be true. So, yeah, tomorrow's cover three. Can Le'Veon Bell be in Tampa and why he should be in Tampa?
I would prefer both of them to be in Tampa.
Well, it's going to be a little bit of a Le'Veon Bell, Mike Evans debate.
It's going to be interesting. Guy, you know what I was surprised about? And again, people probably don't care about this. When I was at the Pro Bowl, I was surprised how big Le'Veon Bell is. You know, you see guys run on TV.
Yeah.
And I was amazed at how tiny Antonio Brown is.
Yeah.
Hold on, I'm looking something up. Keep talking.
This Le'Veon Bell was I mean, he's jacked. He's thick. He's tall. I mean, he is a lot bigger running back for his style of running.
Yeah. He's built to be a feature back. I mean, he's a three-down back.
Absolutely.
First, second, and third down. He can catch the ball, run it, and he can handle 40 touches a game.
And I've jokingly, trolled a little bit on Twitter to Le'Veon saying, hey, comparing the weather in Pittsburgh and Tampa. And
right. Le'Veon Bell, when he was at Michigan State, weighed right around 240. He weighs 220 now.
Mm-hmm.
So, Le'Veon Bell was already this, hoss of a running back, mm-hmm. and then he lost weight,
right.
got quicker, yeah. got faster, and already still had the strength that he had when he mm-hmm. was at 240.
Now again, I was,
it's
saying
the old
that.
Bulk and cut, folks. Yep. Bodybuilding 101.
Well, just look at Mark Cook.
Right.
But,
the old Mark Cook, folks.
I taught him.
Three-time Olympian.
Well.
There's an asterisk in there because he didn't actually compete. But
right.
I claimed...
Yeah.
Well, Olympia, I was set to compete in 1980, but Jimmy Carter wouldn't allow us to travel to the Soviet Union.
Are you
Union.
Talking Sega Genesis or Atari Olympics?
Track and field decathlon, when right, you yeah. tape the pencil to the two buttons and run real fast.
Yeah,
I still hold the record at okay. Hot Subs on Fletcher Avenue. 10 tokens for a dollar back in the 80s. That was the place to go. Screw Chuck E. Cheese. But anyway, but my boy, let me go back to this. I was saying that, I've jokingly trolled a little bit to Le'Veon, trying to encourage him to come to Tampa Bay. And it started with a Jets fan who tweeted at him about, we could pay you $60 million. He goes, it's going to take more than $60 million. Yeah. So,
which is funny because he used to be a Jets fan.
Yeah, it is funny.
Somebody brought up his tweets from years and years ago, and he said, I'll always be a Jets fan or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
But my point is it's not just Le'Veon Bell. It doesn't matter who it is. The fact is, for Jameis Winston to continue his development to be what people hope him to become, being that franchise quarterback, he's going to need a dependable running game. And I don't mean this running back by committee crap we've seen the last 2 years.
Right.
He needs a feature back behind him, mm-hmm. a guy who is a three-down back, who's a threat out of the backfield as a pass catcher
and
a runner.
Figured out how to really help Jared Goff, and that's to get Todd Gurley going, right?
Yeah.
To really max Todd Gurley out. And when that happened, Jared Goff became instantly a much better quarterback.
Absolutely. And, Jameis, listen, we all talk about, Jameis regressed last year. You know what? Statistically, he didn't. His quarterback rating went up. His yards per pass attempt, his amount of 300-yard games, mm-hmm. Completion percentage, all those things rose. So here's a guy who's still on the rise, didn't have his best season, played hurt in some games, missed three other games, but the bottom line is he still set franchise records in certain individual categories. But just imagine how much better he could be if he had that 12, 13, 1,400-yard rusher combined with a guy who can catch 30 or 40 passes out of the backfield as well.
Yeah, when Doug Martin was focused and really in his prime, which if you look back at the last 5 years, it was only 1 year. That was 2015. That was Jameis' rookie season.
Yeah.
And I think that greatly accelerated his learning curve.
Sure.
The easiest thing for a young quarterback to do is turn around and hand the ball off, mm-hmm. and that really helps out. And when I say young quarterback, I don't mean just rookie. I mean a quarterback that's entering year four is still young, especially when you're, 23 years old,
mm-hmm.
right, 23?
Yeah.
So, I think that if Dirk Koetter and Jason Light can get him a dependable running back, whether it is Isaiah Crowell, whether it's Le'Veon Bell, whether it is, a top-shelf running back in the draft,
mm-hmm.
they have got to have a consistent running game for him to be successful. And, yes, the blocking has to improve up front. I know everyone out there is listening in their car or whatever saying, what about the offensive line? Well, Trevor, we also found out that not only are they trying to extend Mike Evans, they're also looking at the 2015 draft class. They're going to put Jameis off for a year. They're going to wait on him. He's going to get the fifth-year option and play on that next year. But they're going to look at getting Kwon Alexander under contract. They're going to look at getting Ali Marpet, and also Donovan Smith under contract. You're getting a little bit of indigestion, heartburn there. What was that sound?
I would give Donovan Smith another year at least. I would at least let him play another year because I understand what they're trying to do. Obviously, he's not graded out as the highest left tackle in the league. And if you believe
what?
In a guy,
he's not.
Yeah, sorry, breaking. PeterPort.com breaking news. I get what they're trying to do. They're trying to time it to where they don't have to pay him top-tier left tackle money.
Yes.
And they're hopefully believing in him to be a more of a top-10 left tackle.
Right. But I don't,
and you're not paying him like that.
I think they're okay. I mean, they want him to be better,
but
obviously.
What's the
but
deal
I think they think
be?
That he's sufficient. he's serviceable, in other words, right now. Even if he doesn't elevate his game anymore,
I guess
for being a second-round pick and not having to pay this guy $13 or $14 million a year like the top left tackles get, you know, this isn't a bad deal.
It all depends what they give him, obviously.
But here's the thing. Offensive linemen get crazy money in free agency.
I know.
Crazy.
I know.
Right? Like, I've talked to some people.
But then why would Donovan... Why would Donovan sign an early deal that's really, quote, like that much of a discount? Because
he can watch the same tape that we're watching.
Yes.
Because he watches the same
so?
Tape.
Yeah. And
he
realizes. If one team's going to give him money, you know another team's going to give him more.
He likes it here in Tampa. Mm-hmm. He's a bowler.
And the other thing, too.
Greatest bowling alley.
They got pin chasers here, right?
Right.
You know, pin chasers in Kansas City or Oakland
that's
or wherever.
Fact.
Maybe they're thinking that if they lock him up, even if they need to go get a left tackle, they can move him to right because DeMar Dotson's obviously getting up there in age.
I think that's plausible.
I just think that some of the arguments that are for the Bucks, they're like, okay, well, he's never hurt, he's still young, he's still got potential, all this stuff. Donovan could turn around and be like, I'm still young, I'm never hurt,
yeah,
I'm serviceable. Like, I'm
let
not
me
taking,
hit free agency.
I'm not taking that big of a discount. But if he takes a shot to the knee.
In the middle of next year on a contract.
Tears his rotator cuff, you know? Whatever. Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Jameis Winston doesn't block for him and he gets sacked and he busts his shoulder.
It's the other way around.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I see. I understand what you're saying.
I'm just hesitant depending on how much money they're going to give him.
Agreed. Obviously. And we'll see what that deal looks like at the end of the day. And these deals aren't going to happen until they take care of Cam Brate, who this team wants to sign to a contract extension, not just give a one-year tender as a restricted free agent. They want to get Adam Humphries a contract extension. They want to re-sign Brent Grimes. Those are the priorities right now. Then after that, and here's the other thing, too. When you talk about Ali Marpet, do you pay him as a center? Do you pay him as a guard? I think they're going to wait until after free agency to see if they can land a center, maybe Baltimore's Ryan Jensen, you know? And if that's the case, then they have their center, they move Ali back to guard, and then you can negotiate in good faith because, hey, Ali, we're going to pay you as a guard. Because I don't think right now Ali Marpet wants to take an extension because they don't know how – he doesn't know how the team plans on using him this year.
Right.
So he wants to say, am I a guard?
Sure.
Am I a center? Pay me accordingly, but
look,
let me know where
dude,
I'm going to play.
You came from Hobart. You're lucky you're in the NFL. You should take whatever they offer you. That's the way I look at it. All right, we're out of time on this one. Appreciate everybody listening. We've got some great stuff coming up. Trevor's Cover 3 coming up. Scott's got a Fab 5 on Friday. Mailbag was out yesterday. Lots of good content.
If there's any more coaches to get fired, we'll have the story on Peter Report.
It might be at 1 a.m., but we'll have it first.
Damn right.
Everybody else can suck our teats. I don't know why I just said that. I guess I'm thinking about that little cat.
You were thinking about that kitty cat.
Cat daddy. I'm worried about
that little kitty on the brain.
You got to get out of here.
I know. I'm nervous.
Does he have a name?
I call him all kind of things. Some I can repeat on the podcast. Some I can't. When it's 2 a.m. and he's crying, I guarantee you it's a different name.
It's a different name, right?
Right. You know, when it's 2 in the afternoon, he's curled up on my neck.
Where do you put him? Do you have like a...
Just a box.
Oh, okay.
Just a box with a blanket in it and a warm water bottle.
At least he puts a blanket down. That's nice.
Yeah. It's a Buccaneer blanket, too.
Like a warm water bottle, like a hamster thing?
Well, actually, technically, it's a Zephyr Hills empty plastic water bottle that I just put hot water in, and I just
rigged it.
Redo that like every
no,
2 hours.
Okay.
Yeah, every time I feed him, I just put it in there.
Thing,
but the cat, she, I don't know what it is. Like, maybe we'll name it Caitlyn Jenner. But point is, it's just kind of sprawled.
Probably
going to have to cut that part out, too. He just sprawls on the blanket on that water bottle. Loves that part of it. But anyway, we'll see what happens again.
Can your cat coach the D-line?
Not any worse.
Caitlin
can get 22 sacks out of this D-line next
Caitlin
year.
Is it Caitlin or
Catlin? Catlin.
What are you going to call it?
Yeah, Caitlyn Jenner. That's a good idea.
Catlin's the name, I think.
Caitlin.
Caitlin.
Yeah. All right. So we will hopefully have good news on the cat next week when we do another podcast.
Who
I'm not here.
About the cat? I don't care.
Now
I'm sorry.
You?
Bite your
I'm allergic
tongue,
to cats.
Sir.
I don't care. I'm with Uncle Stan. I don't care about cats.
Oh, jeez, Louise. All right. Anyway. All God's creatures deserve a chance to live. Thank you. All right, that's in the Bible somewhere. I think it's in Malachi. Anyway, is that really a book in the Bible? Anyway, all right, we'll leave that alone for now. Next podcast next week, go to pewterreport.com. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Instagram. Follow
oh, yeah,
us on
Instagram
Facebook.
Shout out. We got a new partner that
yes.
we're with.
Bucks
if
football.
You are on Instagram, at Bucks Football, we partnered up with them. They're going to be... doing some collab stuff with us. We're going to be doing some collab stuff with them. So it's going to be, I mean, this is just another way for Peter Report to give you the best Bucks coverage that you can get on social media. So, I mean, follow them, follow Peter Report on Instagram. Those Bucks football guys do a great job. They're doing plenty of stuff on their own, but obviously they'll promo some of our stuff. Make sure you won't miss any kind of.
And on the cutting edge of technology, we are starting a MySpace page. Wow. Peter Report MySpace.
All right. Shout out Justin Timberlake.
DeMar Dotson. We're going to be doing a podcast with him.
Yeah, we've got DeMar Dotson coming up on March 22nd at the Ford's Garage in West Chase. DeMar Dotson is our special guest. That is a week from this Thursday, so we will have a...
March 22nd.
I meant to say February. Okay. Thank you for paying attention, because I don't.
A bunch of people show up the Ford's at
cat
March 22nd.
Hair in my nose.
Which wouldn't be a bad thing, just tomorrow.
No, it's fine.
DeMar's not tomorrow won't be there. Yeah, so anyway, February 22nd at the West Chase location, we'll be raising money for DeMar's charity. He's going to get back to me on that, but we're doing the DeMar Dotson Big 69 Bison Burger, going with the Bison Burger.
I'm going
to
order that for sure.
With shrimp.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm not going to edit his work.
No,
it's insulting.
No, this man is a master, and he's eaten plenty of hamburgers in his life. If you look at this man,
it's true,
he's not tiny. But anyway, we'll be doing that on March 22nd. We'll have some information on February, or we might do it in June too.
We might as well just do it in March as well.
I know. For
do it in February and March.
Somebody is going to show up on March 22nd and be like, "Damn it! He said he was going to be here. He said it twice."
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll also be announcing a Pewter Report Springtime Bowling League, a 6 or 8 week league. We're working out the details on that at Penn Chasers Monday night.
We're going to be doing the battle plan soon, right?
Yes, battle plans.
Same thing as last year, where
attack free agency in the draft.
Yep. Y'all should have listened to me. Draft Alvin Cook. Y'all didn't. See what happens?
You
get 5-11.
I didn't have any decisions.
You won, by the way. Remember we did a little poll?
Yeah, you damn right I did.
Who did you have as your first round draft pick?
You cheated.
But who did you have as your first round draft pick?
I don't remember.
Yeah, you do. Go ahead, tell me.
I don't remember.
You remember.
No, I don't
remember. Come on, who was it? Come on.
I don't remember.
There's a thing called archives. We can Google it. What is it? Who was it?
I literally don't remember.
I don't either, actually. I don't either. Must not be very good. I remember mine, though, because I got ridiculed for it. But anyway.
Dalvin. Yeah. Mine wasn't Dalvin. Who was mine? All right, I'm going
to... You're going to have to look it up. All right. So anyway, we will be back next week with another edition of Peter Patient or Peter Nation or Peter Patient podcast.
If you're a cat, it's Peter Patient.
Make sure to check out PeterReport.com for details on the February 22nd
DeMar
Dotson live podcast at the West Chase.
West Chase.
Ford's
Garage
location.
Restaurant.
There we go. Anyway, anything else, fellas?
Nope. That's it.
All right. We are out of here. We will see you next week for another edition of the Peter Nation podcast.
Out.